Well, amen. Steve and I talked about this past week about the sermon today, and he said, now, we want to make sure, and there's one thing he wanted to be clear about, that this day is honoring what God's done in the last 20 years. I've always loved that about Steve. I'm going to tell you two stories. Mark came up to me during the worship time at the 8 o'clock and had tears in his eyes and said, it's easy to forget how you were when God first brought you here. You know, and Mark's got a phenomenal story about his life being broken and shattered and God leading him here. And Mark finding God's healing here. And I got to thinking about my story. You know, the first time I came here wasn't 7 years ago when I joined the staff. And around 1997, 98, I had Steve come and preach at a church. I was a youth pastor, and Steve came and preached, and afterwards I expected he'd jump in the car and leave, you know, because man, he's Steve Ayers, he's important, he's got things to do, people to see, places to go, but he hung around and talked to me, and he was real, you know, interested in my life, and he asked me how things were going. Well, the truth was, things weren't going well at all, but I'd been in church long enough that when people ask that, you just go, they're great. They're great, thanks. But he asked me, and man, I just started bawling my eyes out. Things were horrible. And it wasn't but probably a week or two later that me and my wife came and spent a day with Steve and Elizabeth. And our coming here was part of a healing that God did in our lives. You know, and I thought about that when Mark shared that. You know, how powerful that is. When I did come 7 years ago, before I joined staff, I came for the interview process. And Mark and Steve and I spent the day together, and there was a funeral that day. And we go to the funeral, and in a matter of minutes of being out of the car, I find myself alone. Mark's over here with some people, and he's praying over them. You know how Mark is, right? And he's over there praying. Steve's nowhere to be seen, right? And that goes on for 45 minutes or so. And finally, when the dust settles, Steve had spent that entire 45 minutes talking to the man at the funeral home whose job it was to park the cars. And Steve was telling him how he was making that day easier for some people because it was a hard day. And that's when I really begin to see his heart. And then I come here and join the staff here, and I find that that's the heart of this church. And it's such a powerful thing. I'm not going to preach long. I want to share a few things with you, though. Victor Hugo wrote The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And I saw the movie, and I'm referring to the Disney version of it. And watched it 20 times a day. You may remember those years. I'll put it in again, Daddy, you know, and so we're watching that. But there's this scene where Quasimodo has Esmeralda, and everybody's chasing him, and he's trying to get her to the cathedral, and it's this unbelievable moment in the movie where Quasimodo gets to the cathedral, and he holds up Esmeralda, and he screams, "Sanctuary!" And that meant that nobody could touch her. Because that place was a safe place. And they couldn't come there and get her or do anything to her. And he yelled, "Sanctuary." In the Old Testament, you know that the Israelites have been divided into tribes. And one of the tribes was the Levitical tribe. It was the tribe that was assigned the priestly duties. This is a powerful thing. It says in Numbers 35, beginning in verse 6. "Six of the towns you give the Levites." Now remember, the Levites are basically the priest of the nation. Remember, you give the Levites these cities. You give them six of them. And they will be, the Bible says, cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone may flee. In addition, give them 42 other towns. In all, you must give the Levites 48 towns together with their pasture lands. The towns you give the Levites from the land the Israelites possess are to be given in proportion to the inheritance of each tribe. Take many towns from a tribe that is many, but a few from those that have few. And this is a powerful thing. Part of the priestly duty is to establish six cities that are cities of refuge. Literally, that in these cities, you can flee from everybody chasing you. Listen, everybody look at me. Even if you're in the wrong, you're the one that messed up and you're trying to get away from them, you can go to one of these cities of refuge. And the Bible teaches us in Numbers that when you go to that city of refuge, you can get justice there. You see, they were living under the law, and the law was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. All right. And that means this: if you were backing out of a parking spot and you accidentally ran over somebody and killed them, and that would still be incredibly tragic, but the law was they can drag you out of that car and kill you right there on the spot. That's an eye for an. However, you could also run to a city of refuge. I'm gonna tell you, it was late last night when I was reading Numbers 35. And it was late last night when I was thinking about so many of the stories that I've heard about this place. I love what Steve said. He said it, I don't know, two or three Sundays ago. Steve said, God was always going to do something here, no matter who came. But I thank God that Steve came. And that same heart that I observed in the parking lot of that funeral home has been the heart that God has just planted, birthed throughout this church. That this church would be a city of refuge. I remember first coming to Hillview, and it was kind of a new experience. This is the fourth church I've been at, but it was unlike the other three that I had been at. And I remember at one point, one of my kids, I don't know which one, because according to Steve, I don't even know how many I have. One of them was missing. You know, we hadn't been here long. It might have only been our second or third Sunday. One of the kids was missing. We were frantically looking for them. The other three, we knew where they were. They were in the well over there getting money out. But one of them had escaped. And they were gone long enough. Because, you know, if you have multiple children, you never panic when you first know they're missing. Right? But after a certain amount of time, you begin to panic. And I remember this guy walking in holding my kid. Man, the guy's the hairiest guy I've ever seen in my life, you know. I think he had on a vest, and that's it, a vest. And he's walking in, you know, he's got a do-rag on, you know. He knows a ton of people because he had every one of their names on his body somewhere, you know. And he just walked in and said, hey, is this one yours? You know, I'm looking for security. The stories are amazing, what God has done here. And when I was reading Numbers 35, you know, that this was establishing a city of refuge was a priestly responsibility. It was a priestly duty, right? Because the Levites were charged with that. And I thought that was so neat that that's a priestly duty. But then I got to take you, and you don't have to turn here. I'll read this. They may throw it up on the screen. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says this: but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Jesus has come. We're no longer under the law. It's no longer an eye for an eye, or none of us would be here. It's no longer tooth for a tooth. There'd be no hope for any of us. Jesus, the Messiah, has come. And he's died on the cross, and his blood has been shed so that we can be forgiven. And as a result of that, life in Christ means this: you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You see, now, according to the Bible, we carry out the priestly duties. And that means that this place, and I don't mean the bricks and the mortar, I mean the people of God, that this is a city of refuge. This is a place for people to come that are broken and that are hurting. And you know what? I hadn't thought much about coming here in 1998 and sitting in Steve's office with Elizabeth. I haven't thought about much about that until Mark said it this morning, remembering when he came. Because Mark's right. It's so easy to forget how God brought us here and in what state we were when we got here. And if it should do anything, remembering that, if it should do anything, it should renew a passion within us to see that other broken and hurting people meet Jesus. My favorite thing in January was giving everybody a decision card, right? You got your gospel card. And Steve charged all of us with taking that card. And as God lays people on your heart, us faithfully sharing the gospel with them. And some people say, well, that's intimidating. That's hard to do. But listen, it's hard because we have forgot where we were and what God did in our lives. You see, Numbers 35 is very significant in the Old Testament, because even when they were under the system of the law, God had cities of refuge where people could go for justice. Listen to one of the things that he says here. This is so powerful. In Numbers 35, and I hadn't planned on reading this part, but I'm going to read it now. It says this: do not pollute the land where you are. Bloodshed pollutes the land, and atonement cannot be made for the land on which blood has been shed except by the blood of the one who sued it. Who shed it. Do not defile the land where you live and where I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the Israelites. You see, what made it a city of refuge was the Lord's presence. It was that he was there. And I hear so many stories. You know, I was so thankful to share at the 8 o'clock, and Mark shared it here. There have been 6,199 baptisms since 1991. Yeah. Give him praise. And it's so easy because, you know, when I've got buddies that are pastors, and all of us know guys that are in ministry, and they are so intrigued by that number. But you know what we must not forget? There's a number more significant than 6,199, and I don't even know what it is. Because rarely, rarely does a person come down to this altar by themselves. Almost always when people come to this altar, people are coming with them, right? And it's not so much the blind leading the blind. It's those of us who were blind, but now we see. Because of Jesus, because of what he has done. And so part of that priestly duty, according to 1 Peter 2, is that this is to be a city of refuge that we can't forget. That we were broken, we were hurting, and God came to us. And how many times did God come to us in the form of another person, of a friend, a coworker, a family member, somebody who, no matter how stupid we were, they never gave up on us. They were always there. They called when we didn't want to talk. They came to see us when we didn't want to see them. When we thought it was absolutely hopeless, God kept showing up in our neighbor, our family member, our coworker. And now our priestly duty, now that we've been saved, is it's time for us to be showing up in the lives of people who right now feel they have no hope. To be a city of refuge. You know, as I read that, I just was overwhelmed with that. That's what's been happening here for 20 years. Glory to God. For 20 years, God has done that. I mean, we could spend the day with an open mic and people come and share the state they were in when they came here and what God has done since then. It's his work. It's what he's done. You know, we can't forget that. You know, there's no question about that. It's God's work. But one of the duties that he charges us with is to be a city of refuge. And so your coming here isn't about whether or not you're guilty. Because if you understand our theology, we don't believe anybody's innocent. We're all guilty. The Bible says all of us are deserving of death. Every one of us are sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages for sin is death. And that's why Jesus has come, so that you don't have to die and I don't have to die. It's his grace, his mercy. He did for me what I could not do for himself. Jesus took my place on that cross. And Jesus, as we sing, Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. I want to share with you four things, and we're going to have a time of altar. The first is this: we must always pray. We must always keep that heart of a city of refuge. And when you're a city of refuge, all kinds of people come. Amen? I mean, look at you. All kinds of people come when it's a city of refuge, right? And you know what's great? All of us, staff included, all of us, part of our story is that God came to us. That he was gracious and kind and merciful. And I didn't deserve what he did for me, but he did it anyway. Because it's about him. It's about him. And if you're going to be a city of refuge, you got to remember that it's about him. It's not about who's coming. It's not about what their issues are or used to be. It's not about where they've been or what they've done. If you're a city of refuge, it's about Jesus. And that means this: nobody's coming with a problem bigger than him. That he can handle all of it. And to keep that heart, we've got to be willing to walk alongside of each other. And let me tell you, walking alongside of people is hard work. And if you don't believe it, just ask whoever has been walking alongside of you. And they'll tell you. It is hard work. It is frustrating, right? Because we don't just believe that God is a God of second chances, right? If God was a God of second chances only, none of us would be here. Because I don't know about you, but I messed up more than once. But he just continues to do that work in my life. That work of discipline, that work of restoration, that work of redemption. He keeps doing that work in my life. And so when we're going to walk alongside of people, that's what it's about. My prayer is nobody ever comes to this altar by themselves. One of my favorite stories here is this one, where these two ladies come to the altar. One of the ladies, one of the pastors are praying with her, and she's praying to receive Christ. And I asked the other woman, I said, so are you related to her? She goes, no, I was just sitting by her, and she asked me if I'd walk up here with her. And I thought, that's the kind of church that I want to be a part of, right? That's a city of refuge, right? That's what that is. That's what it's all about. We've got to walk alongside of each other. The second thing is exactly just that, walking people through this, right? Being at the altar with them, calling them. Man, you know somebody's struggling, somebody's having a hard time, and your life's crazy and busy. But the heart of a city of refuge is you're not going to stop and you're not going to give up, right? One of the leaders of our church, I had a conversation with him the other day, and there's a guy he's been trying to minister to, and he called me last night and two nights ago, and he was frustrated and upset. He goes, every time I call that guy, he hangs up on me. He goes, you know what he doesn't know about me? I said, what? He goes, I'm going to keep calling, because I left him a voice message and said, you keep hanging up because I'm going to keep calling. You know what? Let me tell you. That relentless work comes from a passion because you know what God has done in your life. And you know that he never gave up on you, that he was there. You see, that's the key. I had a pastor tell me one time, I was doing something for the Kentucky Baptist Convention. It was something on how to grow a church. Like, I know anything about that, but I'm at a large church, so they asked me to come, right? And before I start, this great big old pastor in the front lifts his hand. He goes, no offense, but if Steve Ayers was our pastor, our church, we'd have a big old church too. And I said, really? I said, do you know Steve? He goes, no. I said, you ever been to Hillview? He goes, no. I said, do you know that we don't have a 4,000 passenger bus that Steve drives every Sunday? Do you realize that? Most people, you know, of course, everybody loves Steve. I said, but most people got to Hillview because of their coworker, because of their neighbor, because of a family member, right? And Steve will tell you that. You know, it's been people taking seriously this priestly duty to love people and to be there for people and walk alongside of people. It's so important that we do that and we continue that work. It's so important that we not lose sight. We don't forget how we were when we came here. We don't forget the work that God has done in our lives. You see, it was so important that even in these Old Testament times, it was so important that there be cities of refuge, that even in the midst of a group of people who lived by an eye for an eye, God saw fit to have cities of refuge where people could go. And it hasn't changed today. There are still cities of refuge, and they are those that belong to Christ. And so people should be able to come here. People that work with you, they should experience that through the relationship that you have with Christ, that we never grow tired of telling people. Now, here's the challenge. And this is going to be the altar call. Here at 9:30, There are, it's unbelievable the people that are influenced in this community by this 9:30 service. You guys know I like to walk around, shake as many hands as I can, get to know people. Y'all tease me that I'm running for office or something. I like to do that. And you know what? And I see what God could do right here. The people that you are connected to that don't know Jesus, right here at the 9:30. And as your pastors, you know why we plead with you to share the gospel? Because we know that at the end of our lives, we're going to look back and there's only going to be one thing that mattered, and that's Jesus. So that we don't balk on the only thing that mattered in this life anyway. Because whatever, now everybody look at me, everybody look at me. Whatever influence you have, God has given it to you. You may think you've earned it, but you misunderstand the Bible. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from God. He's the one that does that. If you have any influence at all, it's because God has given it to you. And if God has given it to you, it's not so that you can have nicer things or better things or be more prestigious or more important. God's given you that for the kingdom. Your influence is one of the assets in the city of refuge. It will be one of the ways that people get to the city of refuge is through the influence that God has given you. Why do I share that here at 9:30? Because I think the challenge is that maybe sometimes we kind of feel like, hey, it's church, I go, I give a little, you know, I'm there, and that's good enough. No, you were created for so much more than that. You were created for so much more than that. I love the Bible says that all things were created by God and for God. You were created for Him. And whatever gifts He has given you, He has given you for His glory and His good. I want us to have a time of altar, and we're going to do a couple things during this time of altar. I want Steve and Elizabeth to come to the altar. They pray together as a family every Sunday anyway, but I want them to come to the altar. And you know, because I am thankful for what God has done through you guys and for your obedience, your faithfulness, your willingness to listen to Him, your willingness to go when nobody else would go. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for your ministry and for that super sincere heart to see people come to know Jesus, to see people get better. You say that every Sunday. You want to see people get better. And I tell you, as somebody that works with Him every day, I can tell you that really is his heart. I told a guy one time, he said, talked about, now Steve, now he can preach. And I said, you know, it's not even his most endearing quality that he can preach. His most endearing quality is that he really believes Jesus can change lives, and he's serious about people knowing Jesus. In a moment, I want them to come to this altar, and they're going to pray. And I want to give you the opportunity. He's your pastor. And I want to give you the opportunity to come here and just lay a hand on him and to pray for him. I want you to do that. But I also think that this altar is a time of confession, okay? And I'm just being real with you right now, okay? I think God has given us some gifts here at the 9:30 service. And we've not been using him for his good and his glory. Whether that's the influence that I talked about or other gifts that God has given. And I say that confessionally. You know, that man, there are times when I get so focused on me and what I want or what I want to get or what I didn't get or whatever it is. All that is pride. And I'm focused on me. And the time for us just to come to this altar, because I think, you know, as much as we're celebrating the last 20 years, do you know what else we're doing today? We're looking forward to what God wants to do for the next 20 years. You know, I mean, because I've been studying baptisms since I was in college and how churches do baptism and how many baptism churches have, it's astounding to me to say the number 6,199. It's unbelievable. But you know what? I pray that 20 years from now, when there's another group of pastors up here probably talking about the last 20 years, I hope they're talking about 20,000 baptisms in the last 20 years. And you know what that means? That means what we've seen for 20 years is God preparing us, God preparing the city of refuge for what He's going to do. because we don't know. But I know this, what he's going to do, he's going to do through the gifts that he's given us. And I don't want us to look back pridefully saying, wow, look what we did. Because we didn't do it. God did. But I want us to look ahead and say, God, continue to prepare me. So as we have a time of altar, I think for a lot of us, this altar is going to be confessional today. Lord, I've been focused on me. Lord, I've had limits on how I'm willing to serve you, who I'm willing to share with. And yet, you've blessed me with influence. And I've used it for my own gain and not for yours. That'd be a powerful altar today. Jesus didn't have near this many people. Y'all know that, right? Jesus didn't have near this many people and changed the world. Steve and I have talked a lot that, you know, the next 10 years when you look ahead, you're probably going to see Hillview Heights Church touching every continent in the world somehow, some way. And I promise you, none of us are smart enough to plan all that and do all that. All we can do is what Steve's done for 20 years. I'll be obedient and willing. So I'm thankful for 30 people. 30 people. Because I'm going to tell you, you can have a big church and no power. Because when we look just 20 years ago, we see a church with 30 people, a brand new pastor, and a lot of power. God moved mightily. So let's not be tempted to think somebody else will do it. Look how many of us there are. Somebody else will do it. Because God's calling all of us to be faithful. Every one of us. If you're here at 9:30 right now and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe you would say, I need sanctuary. I need some place that I can go. I want to tell you, I'm thrilled that you're here today. I already told you, we don't believe anybody's innocent anyway. We're all guilty. We all stand in need of God's grace. And if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, when we have this time of altar, I plead with you to come to this altar. Let us talk with you. Let us pray with you. I want you to know it doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done. It doesn't matter. Nothing's bigger than the grace of God. But the most important thing today is that Jesus would save you. There's going to be a lot of people come to the altar. If you don't know him, please come. Let us talk with you. Let us pray with you. This is a city of refuge. And so many of us got here because God used somebody in our lives. Let's not forget those people. And let's not be just dispensers of information, but let's be the hands and feet of Jesus. God's put people in our lives right now for the sole purpose of us being faithful to share what he's done in our lives. Let's pray together. Pastor Elizabeth, I'm going to ask you all to come and pray. If you want to come and just lay a hand on them and pray over them, I want to invite you to come right now. You come now. Father, we love you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you that for 20 years, this has been a city of refuge. And Lord, we also acknowledge that this 20 years has been a time of preparation. That you're preparing us for the things you want us to do. Lord, it's my prayer that we'd be on every continent in the world. But Lord, I know you're preparing us for when that time will come. May our hearts be right and our hearts be pure. I pray, Lord, confessionally, we confess to you, Lord, that we've let pride get into our lives. We have focused on ourselves. Lord, we've used the gifts you've given us for our own gain and not for yours. Lord, we confess that. So do your purifying work in our lives, Lord. You do that work. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. This altar is open. Steve and Elizabeth are right here. You come.